Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 32, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 23rd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm your Venus, I'm your fire, Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Certified Genius with a J on Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Baby, I compare you to a kiss on a rose, Miles Gray. Ooh, the more I get to you, the stranger it feels. Yeah, now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom, Miles Gray.
Had to hit that harmony because people don't respect the harmony. Everyone likes the melody. Shout out to Motion Unar on Twitter for that, you know, Seal-inspired AKA. One of my favorite songs.
Now, you've done Kiss from a Rose before, just not that version.
No, not that version, and I'm really in a Seal mood, and it just felt right.
I'm just saying to the Zeitgang, there's probably like 5-6 more of those Kiss from a Rose
variations. I could probably add a Zeitgeist in there.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Ever Maynard.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Thanks for being back.
We still talk about the Goat Man.
Oh man, yeah.
One of the just great debuts of all time in the history of the Daily Zeitgeist.
You want to know myth? The Goat Man wasn't real.
Cool.
What are we talking about?
What the fuck? Ever, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I've been doing a lot of research, and honestly, last night really dug deep into industrial goth, cyber goth, rave and dance-offs.
Okay.
There's a very large community in Russia and in Mexico, so shout out to my cyber goths out there.
Oh, yeah. We got a Zeit gang out in Mexico and Russia.
Yeah.
We're internationally known.
Yeah, what's up?
Locally respected.
I watched a bunch of cyber dance-offs.
Yeah.
And it just looks like people trying to get spiders off of them. They're just like, and then like doing weird karate moves.
I know those videos. That's like where they wear gas masks and stuff, and they got like the wild baggy pants with the suspenders. And like, I feel like because there's one video that like
fake tubes out of their like fake dreads and furry boots.
Cyber dreads. Yeah. Future dreads.
Cyber dreads.
Less problematic because you're like, what hair are you simulating when you use tubing?
Yeah. Wow. Because there's this one video that everybody knows where they're all like dancing under an overpass,
right?
And there's just people in all sorts of different outfits. But the main thing seems to be extraordinarily to the point of looking like skirts, black baggy pants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gas masks here and there.
They honestly all look like me in high school. Just like,
oh, was that your vibe?
Chubby, insecure goth girl? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you were goth? Yesterday was National Goth Day, or World Goth Day, I think, on Twitter.
I rocked it hard.
Yeah.
Got real moody real fast. I woke up and said, oh, shit.
Do you have like Marilyn Manson t-shirts and shit?
No, I was really into Kitty.
Hello? Of the Hello variety?
No, of the all-girl punk rock band.
That sounds much cooler.
Screamo. I was really into Kitty and Korn.
Oh, fuck.
And my friends were into Slipknot, but that was a little too dark.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because, like, they look freaky, but they're really nice in interviews.
Yeah, that's
so weird about, at least what I saw, like, because I remember back in the day, you saw them, you're like, these guys are fucking demons from Nebraska or wherever the fuck they're from. And then you would, like, read articles and, like, they're really, like, they're just masks, but there's guys under there.
You know, we're all wearing masks right now.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yes, emotionally and spiritually speaking.
Shout out to Ben Stein from The Mask.
And literally,
no, I feel
in
bad.
My case.
Not everybody that does cyber goth raves, I feel bad. They're not all chubby, insecure people. I was projecting. I'm sorry.
Okay,
most of them are pretty fit. The Russian people that I saw, they were dancing on tanks, and I was like,
yeah, that's
it.
Yeah, also, every Russian subculture is, like, especially on the internet, they just take it to that next level. Like, there's this one meme that they do where they recreate, it's like a picture of a guy hanging out a window, but they actually recreate it by hanging out a window by one hand.
Right, that's
how they do it. It's just, like, so much more aggressive and cool than our memes in America.
Fuck my life.
Yeah.
I'll use it to get this shot. Also, forgot Slipknot is from Iowa, not Nebraska.
Wow,
sorry.
Yeah.
Don't want to get that Iowa heat. I love Iowa. I love Cedar Rapids. Shout out to Linn Mar High School.
So a lot of these videos that I see of industrial goth people dancing, they are doing it like in public, kind of. Is that part of the deal that you like go outside and you're like just doing it in the face of all the fucking squares?
I think part video probably wasn't look cool if you do it in like a nice living room, right?
Right.
I did find these like, I don't know if it's one girl or two girls, but they, it seems like everybody at least samples their videos and their mashups. And it's just like, she's like wearing different outfits. One of them is like neon green. One of them is like neon like red. And she's just doing the same dance. But it must be the best dance because they're all using it. And I'm like, I got to do this.
Right.
I got, and it's usually in public or in front of a white screen, like in a studio.
Okay.
Normally in a group. Right. I did see one where a goth dude was dancing.
And solo?
Solo, but it was in a tunnel and there were people walking by and all of a sudden another dude rode past on a bicycle and did a little wheelie.
Oh, fuck.
And man. I was like, they brought the heat in this video.
It's called production value.
Yeah, okay? I was trying to like, woo, reshare that vid.
Ever, that let's get into your over search. Under. What all is right. something that is overrated?
Gosh, I was going to say like, cool Nikes or like Adidas brands with like designers, but then I was like, no, I'm just salty. I don't have a pair, so I can't.
What, like
hate
Jeremy
on that.
Scott Adidas,
or like Raf Simons, or like right. Comme des Garçons, okay. like Nikes,
off-white and, Nikes,
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, actually, I really like those, and I just don't have that cash flow. Right
yeah,
now
and I, even if it did, it would be hard. To, part of me is like a $900 sneaker feels
as
crazy.
As soon as I make that million. I'm just right. buying it.
Oh, I'm.
Oh gosh!
If I have that, I'm buying $900 worth of cocaine.
Okay, you know what I mean. I don't know if I could do that.
Oh yeah, that's
how
I know
really
I made
scared.
It.
As soon as you said no. that, I got really nervous.
No, it's fine. I can only afford $300 of cocaine at a time now. But that's where I'm at. I'm not quite where I want to be.
Wow. Right.
But yeah, I know.
In terms
I know,
of cocaine consumption.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's how
we
you
all
know,
have to have goals.
That's how LA works. You know, it's like how much blow can right. you afford?
Like how much blow do you have on you right now?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't. I'm.
Oh, so you're not wait, doing well.
I'm
okay.
Not, I don't
oh
do blow.
Feel free to take
that?
A bagel on the way out.
I do cyber goths, you guys.
Yeah.
Come on. I
wait,
drink
which,
ooze.
Which shoes specifically do you have your eye on that inspired that hate?
There's like a Nike. It's like it came out like 2 years ago, and I was uh-huh. like, oh, I really like them. But the off-white ones, yeah.
Yeah, and
but
then you God, look how much yeah. they cost yeah. resale, and you're
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I've had my eye on this one pair of off-white Air Max 90s, I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've tracked them as their price went from like 400, where it was like, oh, if it comes down another couple hundred, maybe I'll think
to
about
a
buying
reasonable
them.
Price?
To now it's like 1,100.
Nah.
You know what I could
It just makes me mad every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my mom to look out for like Looney Tunes Jordans.
Remember
like Space
yeah,
Jams?
Yeah.
Like at like thrift
oh,
stores and
yeah.
stuff?
Mm-hmm. The like multicolor
yeah,
sort of.
You wait.
Yeah, where are the people at Nike at? You know, lace us down.
Yeah,
I'm
come
a,
on.
I'm a, we're brand loyal over here on the day. Yeah.
Me too.
You know
me
I mean?
Too.
And
me too. And
ever. Yes, ever, Jack and I. Nike, come holler at us, please.
Yeah, come on. What's yep. your problem, bro?
Yeah, what's your problem, Nike?
What's your problem, Nike?
I would rock a pair of shoes called the Ever Maynards just on the name alone.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's
yeah.
such
just
a cool
off the
name.
Strength.
Cool,
yeah.
you guys.
Yeah. Ever Maynard.
Yeah.
Ever, what is something that is underrated?
Probably, do you guys remember Airheads? But yeah. remember the watermelon kind that had the black candy seeds?
Oh, yeah.
What? Yeah.
They, what the fuck
those?
Were those made of? What were the seeds made of? Just like, the way you look at me just going, I don't fucking know.
But it was that texture combo. Gave it a little crunch with that little sugary granule sweet.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did it have a flavor? Was it like black licorice?
No. It was just kind of unoffensive. Just gave it a little crunch to it.
Yeah, uh-huh. made it look like a watermelon.
I remember we used to freak the fuck out when the mystery flavor, the white one.
Yes!
Yeah, you'd be like, my God, I remember there was like hierarchy of flavors.
Yeah.
Like when, you know, you could buy snacks in my junior mm-hmm. high and like they would have like the little concession or whatever. And yeah, when you got the white Airhead, woo, boy. Might as well have $900 in cocaine money.
Yeah.
Look, guys, we really need to get Miles
Wait,
$900
remember...
worth of cocaine. It's very clear.
Let me tell you something
is...
else. Do you remember Raven's
Are you okay,
Revenge?
Miles?
Do you remember Raven's Revenge?
No, tell me.
It was like a candy that was in a plastic test tube that was just pure sugar.
Wow.
It was like a basically a pixie stick put into a plastic test tube. And like they had to ban it at my school because they're like, these kids are just eating tubes of sugar. And
it's
losing their minds.
Raven's
called Raven's Revenge.
Is that how you got hooked on coke?
No.
Is that your gateway? $900
of Raven's Revenge! I need $3,000 of Raven's Revenge.
No, that was Pixie Sticks.
Yeah,
did that.
Pixie
yeah.
Sticks. Shout out to DJ Rogers, who in middle school snorted a line of Pixie Sticks.
No
and,
way.
Like, had to go to the nurse.
Oh, he's not a real DJ. His name was DJ.
Yeah.
DJ Rogers!
DJ Rogers.
Yeah, I remember the Warheads were like the hot shit in my school, and they tasted terrible. But it was just like, yeah, look at what I can do.
Didn't they make your mouth bleed? Into your,
Well, that was like what people said. Ooh, I put so many sour ones in my mouth that they made my mouth bleed.
Oh shit!
Yeah, we are onto your myth. Ever, what is a myth?
I couldn't really think of a myth. I thought about like eating watermelon seeds, and then a watermelon grew in your tummy.
That happened to my cousin.
True or false?
No, that's false, man.
That happened to my cousin's friend.
You're lying.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you're lying.
He was probably lying to me.
But I think the Warheads thing, I think that myth is true. I think the acid probably causes blisters.
Let's see.
Google it.
Warheads mouth blood.
Oh, man. Please tell me there's some Google images.
150 Warheads challenge completed. Warning, blood and pain. Oh, Wired even did an article about it. What's behind the burn of Warheads Extreme Sour Hard Candy? Blah, blah, blah. There's citric acid, micro-encapsulated malic acid, corn syrup, artificial flavor. I don't even know what they mean. Okay, so I guess it can make your mouth hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know why people... Yeah. But I guess, I mean, based on this YouTube video, now I'm sure someone will bust this myth, but this guy's mouth looks like a fucking mess from eating 150 Warheads.
Right. And now kids just Juul instead of
doing any Juul of that shit. Eat the Tide Pods. Oh, it's Furious Pete, the guy's...
That is funny that Tide Pods are like this generation's version of that. It's like they're just like, nah, fuck it. We're just going to eat poison
now. Eat poisons.
Now.
Yeah.
That rules. All right. Those are good myths.
I don't know. I try to think of another myth, you guys. I couldn't really think of a myth.
It's hard. Sometimes people try and really like try and take down a real myth. Mm-hmm. Other times people just introduce new theories that have mythic proportions. And I don't know what else, I'm hard-pressed to ever think of a myth. Like, whenever someone comes in, I'm always like, damn, that's good.
It's really put me on the spot with that one. I had the goat you guys called back, Goat Man, and I was like, I can't live up to the goat.
Can I bring back Goat Man?
Although
there were some people on Twitter who were like, I think we had a Goat Man, too.
I know. Oh, I found out about the Florida Man recently.
Right.
My friend Jason told me, and I think it was in an episode
of Atlantis. Yeah.
Or Atlantis. Atlanta.
Atlantis.
Atlantis. Where they mentioned the Florida Man, where like everybody in Florida, if there's ever like a problem, they never say where in Florida, it's Florida Man. Mm-hmm. So it's like one person, Florida Man, does all of this stuff.
There's a short documentary called Florida Man.
Oh.
That's pretty wild.
Dang.
Now, is it based on the theory? Because there's two
It's
there's
just
like
a dude.
The humorous thing where
everything.
It's like a dude cruising the streets of Florida and like running into people.
Who's cruising
it's
the
like,
streets of
yeah,
Florida?
Yeah, and you're just like, fuck, this is some other shit right here.
Do you guys remember how excited people got when that dude ate bath salts and ate that other dude's
face?
And they were like, he's a zombie. And for a second, everyone got really excited that zombies were real.
Yeah.
There was that tinge of like uneasy excitement, but that was just some dude's son, man.
Are you? Definitely not a zombie. Do you deep down hope for the zombie apocalypse?
No.
Do you know people who kind of wish that? Like, I know people who deep down...
know
are kind of praying for society to completely fall apart, and they're like, and that's when my life will be good.
Okay, two things. Yes, because there is a dude that drives a Jeep in my neighborhood that says, like, zombie apocalypse.
Patrol
like,
or some shit? Okay.
And they have, like, a Jeep, and it's got the biohazard thing. For sure they're into goth raves. And it's just like, what are you're spending, like, thousands of dollars to trick out your Jeep and zombie apocalypse rescue decals.
Yeah.
Right.
And like big, huge tires.
He's just trying to corner the market early. Because when that shit happens, who are you going to trust? The guy in the Chevy S10 who's like, come with me? Or the guy in the Jeep that says official zombie safety squad?
Yeah.
It's branding.
Oh, yeah. Zombie safety squad.
Branding.
There is also, I don't know like what this person does. It's clearly, this person is a schemer. I have a lot of respect for this person. They drive a white Suburban, mm-hmm. early 2000s model, and every week there's a new decal on it. It used to be like gun training, and then it was dog walking, and now it's in-person dates, like a dating service. That you know how like people do custom decals on their car?
Right.
Every week it's a different
one. It's a new
hustle? It's a new hustle, but it's getting shadier and shadier and shadier, because now it's clear like this dude's a pimp.
Wow. Like,
in-person
dates? Dating.
As opposed to what? That's such a weird, murky description.
It's got like an AR-57 like gun decal on the back.
This must be bigger than 15.
I don't know what they are really, Looks like a machine gun.
In-person dating is...
In-person dating.
I need to look that up. Is this like
a
I'm
going
to
take
scam?
A photo of this Suburban in my neighborhood and send it to you guys. And every time
please
it changes,
do.
Please put it up.
Because even when you search it, like even Google's like, the fuck are you talking about in-person dating?
Are you looking for an escort?
You mean like dating? Right. Like everything that comes up is just like how to meet people in Earth.
Right. Man, that does bring me back to a time when the news cycle was... so slow that we needed to make up like zombie outbreaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't there, there was like another story that broke right after that where people were like, see, it really is happening. The zombies are coming for
us.
I forget what it was.
Yeah.
In Russia, their myth is called crocodile.
Right.
It kind of turns you into a zombie because it rots your skin.
Eats your skin, yeah.
Right, right.
I remember the early days of Vice on YouTube. When that video came out, it was like, yo, have you seen this shit?
We do all the meth in Russia. All right, guys, let's get into the stories of the day. And we have to open up with some hard-hitting shit because there is a new Laurel v. Yanni and a couple, actually, that we want to play for you guys. So... first off, we are going to play some Rihanna for you. So we're going to play just a little segment of one of her songs. So that part right there, I think I always assumed was...
because I'm a paper chaser.
A paper chaser.
Because I'm a paper chaser.
And people pointed out that if you now think about the phrase, because I'm a big fucking slut, you get a different... version. So think about that phrase as you listen to it. Yeah.
Can you do that one more time, Nick? Well, that's in there too, I guess, if you really want to listen to it.
I heard queso.
Because I'm a big fuck queso?
No, I want some queso.
Oh.
Because I want some queso.
Because I want some queso. Wait, can you play that back, Nick? Let me hear that one.
Something like
because
that.
I'm a fin for queso.
I'm a fin
for queso. I'm a fin for queso.
Yeah. Very malleable, that one.
I heard slut. Yeah, you guys. I
these are the
totally.
On
I'm
the internet.
So then there's also this piano thing that you were playing for me this morning, Miles.
Yeah, so someone on Twitter, I think, hit us up. They're like, yo, check this new one out. So on the same article from that website, I think it's I Fucking Love Science, underneath it, they had this version of a Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. But it's like they basically had this computer program interpret the song through MIDI piano. So basically this version of... Staying Alive is only piano notes, but when you listen, you swear you could like hear the actual vocals of the song. It's a little trippy. Listen to this. Yeah, so I know it sounds like a fucking nightmare hellscape.
It does. It sounds like the Bee Gees are being drowned by piano music.
Yeah.
Like their voices are like trying to sing.
Or like it would
be
like
keys.
A trippy video where there's like an 8-bit C and they fell into it and were drowning in like a bit crushed world. And that's a very deep technical jargon. But but it's weird. You can kind of hear the lyrics in there. It was very, it's odd.
Yeah.
And that's just only piano notes. So there's your auditory illusion for the day because we said this show is now all about auditory illusions.
Yeah. These two remind me of like conspiracy theories because they're like so obviously there. You can actually hear it. Like you're finding stuff hidden in the fabric of a thing that you've heard before. But like once your mind starts to like put the shape of things on it, it's like impossible not to hear. So, like, with the JFK conspiracy theory, if you talk to a conspiracy theorist, they're like, look, man, right there in the grassy knoll, you can see it. And if you look hard enough, you can kind of see a guy there. But
about the lady with the camera? You can't see her face.
Oh, shit. See, don't get Quincy Jones in here.
So there's so many theories on the JFK thing. And I think it's because is the most analyzed, like, 12 seconds of film and just... of reality in the history of the world. So you're going to, just in the same way that, like, if you listen to a song enough, you're going to be able to hear new things in it. If you look at this scenario enough times, you're going to be able to come up with different versions that are equally there, that your mind like will tell you for certain, like that is happening right there. But, you know, it's actually our minds looking to put patterns and meaning in things that weren't actually intended or weren't actually there.
We do that anyways,
yes.
You know, in our daily lives and our daily waking lives. What did they mean by that?
Exactly.
What did they not mean by that? Also, why would you open up this JFK box of worms and not allow us to talk about it? Dude, uncool.
Yeah. No, I just like to put it out there and then, you know, yank it
back.
The
mob. Yeah. I think it was the mob and the CIA.
Together. Why not?
Together. I think JFK was going to some more progressive ideas. And CIA or had other plans.
Hey, we don't know. I mean, look.
Hey, we don't have time for this.
Quincy Jones, man, hey, don't ask me about it. But could have been John Connor. I don't know. But at the same time, as Scarface once said, my mind's playing tricks on me. Okay, thank you.
All right, I guess we're going to move on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm not happy.
And we're back, and we were just talking conspiracy theories. I don't know why I brought up JFK and assumed that we could just like touch on it
graze
and move
over
on.
It?
But
well, if people listen to this show enough, they've
heard
about
the theory.
This is well-tread territory.
They've heard the truth about.
Oh, okay.
But Ever, you were talking about how the Beatles were kind of the first on this sort of hiding messages in their songs.
Yeah.
Idea with the Paul is dead
Paul's
thing.
Dead. If you play it backwards. Mm. We were talking about Rihanna, how she put that high up thing in that song. And that's
who knows
why
if she did
it.
Layer it, yeah.
Right.
Has she said definitively?
I mean, she is like the most sex positive, you know, performer out there, so.
Yeah, one of them.
Paul's dead.
What if
Paul's
dead. What if she hit that one of her songs?
And live your life. Paul's dead.
All right, guys. The NFL has solved their problem with kneeling players.
Oh, they're going to let them kneel?
Yeah, they're going to let them kneel in the locker room. So we have this statement from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. He said, "This season, all league and team personnel shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem." Shall. Go fuck yourself, Roger Goodell. "Personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room until after the anthem has been performed. We believe today's decision will keep our focus on the game and the extraordinary athletes who play it, and on our fans who enjoy it." And that ruling was approved by all 32 owners.
Mm-hmm.
So not really helping the whole the NFL has a creepy slavery overtone thing. And that he's saying, keep your focus on the extraordinary athletes in a statement that completely robs those athletes of any sort of personhood and ability to express themselves as
free
citizens.
Well, they can, Jack. Just don't do it in public.
Right. Just do it back
in shame
in the locker room where there are no cameras.
You know,
and
some of the greatest protests have occurred in the home. out of the view of the public.
Right.
Some
that's
of the
where
greatest moments. That's where we really change society.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, why can't Martin Luther King Jr. just do that in his living room?
Why couldn't he have had that dream in his bed?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Instead of out there in front of everyone.
Hey,
okay.
I don't care what y'all do in your
in
own
your,
bedrooms.
In your own bedroom.
Just
don't
keep
shove it
away
in our
from
face.
My,
don't have your dreams out here in front of me like
right.
that. Yeah, this is so stupid. I mean, God. Like, off the field. Like, what, they'll just fine them if they kneel now?
So that's the plan. They are going to fine the franchise, and then the franchise can pass down fines on the players and personnel, which...
Are there any numbers on what that looks like?
No, they don't know.
But chase us.
Yeah, I mean, yo, just bring on the fines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to take their ability to actually protest like that by saying, oh, well, you know, fuck it.
Come on.
Pay the fine. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who put a fund together, the fine fund, and just, I don't know.
Shit, now we can bet.
Yeah.
Legally.
Right. Right, exactly.
I don't want my fucking bets messed up, man.
It is crazy, though.
Where's Dak Shepard going, or the Dallas Cowboys quarterback?
Dax Shepard.
What is his
Dez
name?
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant.
He is really the Dax Shepard of
he's still
Kristen the
Bell.
NFL.
Keep the Washington Redskins name and mascot.
Right. Yeah, but we have to focus on real problems
here.
We have to focus on real problems.
What,
real problems.
That ain't a problem?
The players.
They're kneeling,
kneeling.
And they're remind. God, I mean, when they're kneeling, what are they trying to say? That there's this rampant police brutality in this country or something?
They better be praying.
I hope that's a prayer, man.
I hope that's a prayer. Yeah, but anyways, people are dying.
Yeah, so I guess
do it in your living room if
don't
people are dying.
Yeah, people watch sports to escape, not to be reminded of the injustices in the world. But it's interesting, like what the other. There was a few ideas that they had. Like first, when they were all kind of brainstorming, how do we punish people who are trying to have any kind of stance on something? So first it was like, how about we let the teams decide? You know, because some of you guys might be in liberal places and that might not
States' rights.
Upset. Yeah, states' rights, exactly. then they said, what if we just clear the whole field while the anthem is being played? Yeah. So there's no reason to get upset. There's just nobody. They'll just play the anthem, then the players come out.
Okay.
And they're saying, fuck that, okay? The Pentagon didn't spend all that money just for them to hide.
Right.
Then there's... they instruct the players who don't want to stand to remain in the locker room while the anthem is played, which is kind of, I think, what we're probably at
what
now.
What they ended up going with.
Yeah, or the other one was if they impose penalties on teams and players who do not stand, including a 15-yard penalty.
Gotcha.
So that would be interesting. Like, now, you just start off and they're like...
How embarrassing.
You, would he throw the flag during the anthem?
Right.
Somebody blows a whistle.
Okay, I'm sorry, band. 15-yard penalty.
Throw the flag on not respecting the flag.
Yeah. And we, what would you, that would be kind of
funny.
That's
the only one that seems like it could potentially have worked because then you're
hurting. It affects the game, yeah.
Yeah, it affects the game and like it affects them as competitors rather than them as, you know, as humans and also as people who don't give a shit if they, you know, get fined. They're willing to put their pocketbook on the line.
It would just look so absurd to hear like Ed Hockley get on the mic and then say, like, describe what the penalty was for kneeling.
Right.
Does Ed Hockley, is he still a ref?
I think he retired.
Oh, I thought you were talking about hockey.
No, Ed Hockley was like the most ripped old man referee in the
NFL. Oh, that dude, that buff dude.
Like, so big, you're like, oh, Jesus, my man. How thick is your neck?
Right.
Anyway, so I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, I have a feeling people still be kneeling, but...
It's crazy because it really puts the onus on the teams themselves to sort of adjudicate people kneeling, and all the owners were like, yeah, let's do that.
Well, maybe then they're just saying, like, fine. Well, that way, if their players want to kneel, they'll be like, all right, we'll just pay for the fine. We'll just pay the fine.
Right.
But I don't know how many teams are going to do that.
But I don't know how that solves their problem either.
But that's like a drop in a bucket with how much these teams make. I mean, come on.
Well, who knows what those fines are. I'm sure they'd probably make it to a point if they're really trying to control this behavior. But at the end of the day, fuck that, bro.
Yeah,
just do whatever the fuck you're going to do. You're a human being.
Sad.
You're out here putting your fucking body on the line for these teams, for these owners, while your brain, you know what I mean? Like,
Let's go back to paying attention to them doing harm to each other instead of focusing on stuff like them.
Yeah, let's watch half seizures go down.
Right. All right, we're going to get into a quick 3-minute Trump corruption rundown.
Yeah, all right.
This one's a real bummer today, you guys.
I know. Hey.
Thank God the day was yesterday. I'm feeling pretty sad today.
Right. So the taxi god, this is somebody we've talked about before. He was a business partner of Michael Cohen in New York City. He is now cooperating with investigators, so
that's not good
for Michael Cohen,
because he was like stiffing the MTA on like $5 million worth of fees he should have been paying the MTA, so they're like, oh my god, that's a little felony there,
right?
You want to work something out? And he was like, I will cooperate with state and federal investigations. So although Cohen has been like, yeah, I don't really know him like that though, so
you do.
Typical Trump playbook, you know what I mean? Just like, oh, him, I don't know her.
Mariah.
Then also Cohen is in the news because the BBC reports that he took $400,000 to set up a meeting between Donald Trump and Ukraine President Poroshenko. Now, I mean, basically the story goes that Poroshenko and like his team, they were trying to meet using the traditional means to get the president. They couldn't
Lobbyists.
Do it. Yeah, or, you know, just, I don't know, writing a letter, a fan letter, or donating massive amounts of money. Anyway, so what they did was they got in touch with Michael Cohen, and he was like, yo, $400K, I'll get you in the room. And sure enough, they did meet. So, but also, Michael Cohen, again, isn't registered as a lobbyist or foreign agent or anything. So
now, yeah, that seems like a technicality that I don't give a shit about, that he's not registered as a lobbyist, but...
It would be, but it's a... Normally, you do that so you know who these people are who are, like, saying, hi, I'm being paid by this government to get this thing done.
Right.
You know, and so that's, you need that transparency. And it just, that's where we're at now, because the Overton window is completely gone. We don't know where we are. Like, what's sketchy and what isn't. It
pretty
seems
wild.
Like of all the shit that's on the table, you're like, yeah, there's no meat on that bone.
Y'all want to know something?
Yes.
Look up a myth. Look up Baba Vanga.
Baba Vanga.
Baba Vanga. This is a prophet.
How
that,
are we
like,
spelling that?
Just
B-A-B-A-V-A-N-G-A.
Baba Vanga, man. She predicted all this shit. She's a blind prophet that saw the future and then was like, all this stuff that's happening with Trump. No joke. Baba Vanga, man.
The chilling predictions of Baba Vanga.
They're
with
coming
80%
true, baby.
Accuracy.
Here we go. Buckle up. It's about to get crazy.
She's the modern Nosferatu.
She's from Bulgaria.
I mean, Nostradamus.
Nosferatu.
Whatever, dude. Like Nosferatu, I don't care. But it's fucking wild.
Oh, my God.
She is a old world style, grandmotherly looking woman with just no eyes.
Yeah, she's blinded bike riding.
By the light.
Pebbles.
But anyway, we're going to have to do a deep dive into
Baba Vanga.
I just love saying
bring me back
it.
For that Baba Vanga episode.
But I'll tell you something Baba Vanga didn't predict.
That sinkhole?
No, that maybe this whole Elliot Broidy other scandal
with
that apparently Michael Cohen helped facilitated might not have actually been Elliot Broidy and may have been Donald Trump.
Get a grip.
So Elliot Broidy was the third client of Michael Cohen that was revealed in court that one time when it was like Trump, Broidy and Sean Hannity. He was the second guy nobody cared about. He's the guy who was paying off a Playboy model who he had impregnated and then paid for her abortion. He is a high-level RNC fundraiser, and it seems like there's all sorts of evidence pointing to the fact that this was actually something that he did to help Trump cover up the fact that he impregnated a Playboy model and paid for her abortion.
Right, because Michael Avenatti, when that story came out, he got messy. He went to Morning Joe and he said, and we might find out if whether or not, in fact, it was Elliot Broidy who was the person in this agreement, which he was saying, might be Donald Trump. Now, someone at New York Magazine kind of fleshed out this theory fully, sort of saying that basically when you look at the same NDAs, they're nearly identical. Like, it has the same pseudonyms of David Dennison and Peggy, whatever the weird fake names were, exact same. And it was done through Essential Consultants LLC. Like, so everything just seemed like, oh yeah, I already have a nice shut the fuck up doc already filled out. So I'm gonna switch a few names. And so the reason why—
But they didn't switch the name David Dennison.
No, they didn't.
Which is Trump's code name.
Yeah, but again, but the money seems that Elliot Broidy provided this $1.6 million. Now, this theory, which has not been proven, so this is theory, it's a wild speculation, is that basically, you know, if we look at the Stormy Daniels thing, Michael Cohen said, I didn't have the money. I actually had to pull equity out of my home to pay the Stormy Daniels fee. Well, then he damn sure didn't have $1.6 million. So the theory is that he reached out to Elliot Broidy, who's a very rich man who was already doing a bunch of shady business deals that basically hinged on whether or not the U.S. would play ball. And if he could get the U.S. play ball, like, he would make a lot of money. So they're like, look, fam, step up, take this L and act like this was your affair. You can give us the money to actually pay off the settlement, and then we'll let you rock and just, you know, try and scam foreign governments. So that is kind of where we're at. But then if you look today, it turns out that he basically secured nearly $1 billion in contracts from Saudi Arabia.
For his company.
Yeah, in the United Arab Emirates to push anti-Qatar policies with Trump.
And it's all the same players as that meeting that happened at Trump Tower that we were talking about, where Trump was like, there's a long, boring New York Times article. You guys don't have to read it.
Right.
But where Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Prince were meeting with this guy, George Nader, who was a contact. That's who Broidy was doing business with. It's just like all these same incestual business contacts.
Well, yeah. And if you remember that orb picture from the beginning, that was sort of the beginnings of them pushing this sort of anti-Qatar thing.
Right.
And so, look, if you also look, your boy Elliot Broidy and George Nader, they are scumbags who like to bribe people. So back in 2009, Broidy pled guilty to felony charge of rewarding official misconduct, bribing, to win like a New York State pension fund investment deal. Yeah. And also Nader was convicted of 10 counts of sexually abusing minors in 2003 and spent a year in jail in the Czech Republic for it. So These are the kinds of dudes who are doing the business around Trump.
Elliot Broidy has specifically helped a politician, like done a quid pro quo with a politician where he paid his own money to a politician's mistress. So he has a history of doing payments of this style.
And $1.6 million is a drop in the bucket if you're getting, what, $1 billion in contracts?
Jeez.
Yeah. Woo! And just going back to the why it's a problem for Cohen to be doing lobbying but not being, you know, registered as a lobbyist is you can do shady shit like this where, you know, if you have somebody who you pay money to get you access to the president, but he's not on the books as a lobbyist, there's a lot of just money going back and forth where people are paying for access, people are paying for deals to go through, and it's just
hard to connect
straight
the dots.
Up like old-timey corruption where people bring in briefcases of cash and get big deals for their country.
And that was a tight 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Also known as eight.
Yeah. Also, let's not throw water at Tommy Lauren, guys.
Is she in L.A.?
I think she is.
They said she moved to L.A. I have not seen her.
I know she's out in Los Angeles all the time for various things. Surprisingly, more than you might expect. But the water throwing incident looks like it actually happened in Minneapolis. So.
All right, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Tight.
Tight Minneapolis, but maybe don't play into their playbook so much.
Yeah.
But somebody, she was leaving brunch the other day and somebody threw a glass of water in her general direction, which not that she doesn't deserve it. She totally does.
Was it at Edendale?
I don't even know. But just a huge part of their whole kind of ideology and plan is to try and pretend like white males and females are being culturally persecuted. So to actually throw water at them is, you know, such a great thing for them, to the point that Trump actually used that in a speech and was like, "We're all with you, Tommy. Tommy's having water thrown at her and being persecuted out in Los Angeles.
You're being persecuted because you're hateful."
Right. But, you know, let's not play their game.
I never throw water at nobody.
Miles, there were primaries yesterday.
Yes.
What happened?
There were. And let me tell you, it was, man, the DCCC basically got his ass kicked. A lot of their picks, who were their establishment picks, they took big L's, like in Big L, rest in peace, the rapper. In Texas, all three of their picks lost pretty much in their primaries. Like, their people didn't get through. And also in Kentucky, Amy McGrath, who's a retired Marine Corps pilot who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, won big in the Lexington area.
I saw those videos. I was like, this chick looks tight.
Yo, and that's what everyone's saying. They're like, yo, this is dope. And she's like, because she kind of like the DCCC is like, no, they want a Jim Gray, not the despicable sports commentator guy. He's the mayor of Lexington. They wanted him to run because they felt like, yo, this guy's a shoo-in. He's a layup dude that everybody knows him and they trust him. Like, he definitely won the Lexington area, but Amy McGrath employed a bit of a different strategy. She was like, you know what? Even to win this district, we got to talk to rural folks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus in the rural areas and win them back. And that's my path to victory. Mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about the cities. Like, my ideals and just who I am will be enough. And sure enough, she invested heavily being out there. She presented.
She bring her jet?
No, she didn't even have to. I mean, she just probably threw on the aviators with the fucking jacket
was
and was like,
guess who I am?
Yeah, it's fucking McGrath in the building. Fuck with me. She mailed out like a 32-page economic plan in these areas that leaned hard on like rural development, like, you know, turning tobacco into biofuel and like increasing broadband access and things like that. Because it was like, yo, we can win these people. We just have to talk to them in ways that connect directly to them. You can't just be like, oh, Russian collusion. That shit doesn't connect with people. So sure enough, you look at the numbers, she won by 8 points. And now she'll be on her way in November.
Right.
But also the other big one was the Battle of the Stacys in Georgia, where Stacey Evans was going off against Stacey Abrams to get the gubernatorial nomination for Georgia. And Stacey Abrams, who is a woman of color, she is, I think, the first black woman nominated by a major party to be a governor. Yeah. So if she wins, that'll be even more history.
Yeah.
And again, this is another sort of tale of sort of how the Democratic Party establishment was looking at this race. They really liked Stacey Evans because she was trying to court some like Trump voting white voters.
Right. She's centrist.
Yeah, she's more of a centrist. And with Stacey Abrams, she's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to go to people of color, women, first time voters, marginalized people, try and get them energized, turn these people out so I can get those votes. And sure enough, she won pretty handily. And this, not to say that she is not going to have a tough fight. But when you look sort of at the numbers, the enthusiasm for the Democrats in all of these races was pretty high.
Yeah.
Despite the polls tightening. So we were talking about how that's not really the best way to look at this wave.
Yeah. The RNC is celebrating that these more progressive candidates are winning because they think it's going to be easier to beat these more progressive candidates because historically more centrist Democrats have done better than more progressive Democrats. But I think, and super producer Nick Stumpf kind of made this point in our notes, that this could almost be seen as a repeat on the Democratic side of what happened with Trump, where, you know, when Trump won the nomination, everyone on the Democratic side was like, nice, we're going to fucking smoke this idiot. He's just like, you know.
We don't have to describe. We already know why we thought he was
going to win. Right. He's not a, but he's not a traditional candidate.
Right.
And, you know, so I think, you know, this could just be the Democrats going populist and getting behind, you know, more the people as opposed to, you know, the DCCC, who, as we've talked about before, the way they evaluate a candidate, they look in their phone and see how much fundraising money they have, like, in their Rolodex.
Yeah. And it's funny now, the DCCC now is like, after McGrath won, they're like, she was a hard, battle-tested candidate. Like, they're changing their tune. They've done that
good,
a few
good
times.
Good for them. They should.
Because, yeah, they should. I mean, like, this is such a huge year for women running for office. And it shows you that, I mean, yo, it's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time. And they are the captain now.
Nice.
Yeah, like that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And Miles, we might be out of a job pretty soon.
Yeah. Looks like. I mean, not only are we second rate podcasters, we're actually third rate comedians. And now there is a robot that is going to be taking the jobs of third rate comedians like ourselves. There is a Twitter account called Headlinertron, which is a Twitter bot that's created by a comedian named CJ Hernandez. And basically, they fed over 30,000 words of stand up comedy transcripts taken from shows by people like Dave Chappelle, Sarah Silverman, Mulaney, and they're basically using like a predictive text generator to create jokes based on these things. And it's weird. Some of the jokes are so weird. They're kind of funny.
Right. It's like alt comedy.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I mean, sometimes they make no sense, but you'll just laugh because. And yeah, AV
Actually,
Club.
Actually, they always make no sense.
Yeah, that's true. AV Club pulled some of the funny ones here. So this is another one. I hate going to dinner with my girlfriend. She doesn't even alcohol at all. That's completely out of respect for the unborn. It's crazy. She just got a tattoo of her uterine lining, too. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That is crazy.
This is this one.
She sounds like a pretty hot feminist.
They say two people are never the same person. That's in the Bible. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Then let's see some hotter material. Time of my life was when my dad gave me the sex talk. Oh, yeah. 72 hours later, I was getting boners just like this.
So presumably the performer has a boner and is saying, I was getting boners just like this.
Another one. You ever woke up and came on your ass?
Uh-huh.
I guess so. I don't know, Headlinertron.
Yeah. No, see, that's how comedy works, is you say something that everyone can identify with.
And it's just so, or it's just so absurd and offensive or blue that you're just like, ha, ha, ha.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make sense, but he said, came on your
ass.
That
is actually something that, like, the funniest guy in fifth grade would have said that would have, like, cracked me.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, this guy.
All right, here's my warheads.
Exactly.
Give me that Raven's Revenge. And also, this is another one, you know, this is one I really like. When I got married for 32 years, instead of making love to me, she didn't.
That's so good.
Yeah, so shout out to Headlinertron and just algorithmic joke construction.
Fucked.
Dude.
You're a comedy writer, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
You're in trouble.
God. Yeah. If it's not hard enough in this industry.
Give him the Twitter bot an assistant gig?
Yeah. I guess so, man.
Just be a writer's room PA.
I'm like, you know what I might just do? I might just get one of those and then copy and paste and be like, yeah, I wrote it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I wrote it.
Yeah.
Dude, I was listening to this thing on NPR about, this reminds me of like Google's new like personal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the vocal recognition. It's just so, it sounds just like a human now.
Say,
I think that they say, and it's like, yeah, I'll take it around 12:30. Do you have anything okay. And it's just like,
right.
They have to put disclaimers now. Yeah. Like, hey, this is.
Yeah, ahead of it to be like, yeah. Just so you know, you're about to talk to a fucking robot.
Right.
So,
but it's going to sound kind of like a human.
But it's going to trip you out.
Don't be weird about it, you guys.
Right.
But doesn't that totally ruin the point? Being
well,
like,
I think they need to, because that's where we get into a weird area, right? Where, mm-hmm. like, when we don't know if we're interacting with human beings anymore, that's kind of, you know, it's passing the Turing test.
You know, an illusion.
Yeah, but I would use it if it made people think that I had a personal assistant who could, like, do
right.
my haircut appointments for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd feel so cool. And
yeah,
LA.
You'd feel cool.
Right.
But then I guess it's just sort of like, what's the end road look like? You know what I mean? Like, because this right. is the kind of thing where everyone goes, wow, that's so cool. And then cut to, like, you know, like in China, cops are already wearing glasses that have facial recognition shit
right.
to be like, oh, this man's a fucking criminal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My Google assistant starts dating my wife.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, shit.
They're like, isn't Jack a total cuck? Lol, close parentheses.
But this is the first time they're saying that it's so good at passing the Turing test that they have to do the...
Right.
Disclaimer.
Well, just
otherwise...
just in this context, yeah, of just the phone call conversation.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if it's any
creating appointments.
Yeah, if it's anything outside of that, it would probably fall apart and be like, okay, your name is, and where'd you go to high school? And then be like, haha, 12 p.m. What?
Right.
And then she didn't.
Yeah. You're like, I like this person.
All right. We want to talk about one of the new patron saints of this podcast. A gentleman by the name of Michael Rotondo.
Yes.
He is a 30-year-old New Yorker evicted by his parents.
Cold-hearted parents.
Yeah. So he's 30. His parents want him out of the house.
I mean, it's the headline that makes this thing so absurd. New York parents win legal battle to evict son, 30.
Yeah.
Like, damn, it got bad. If they're like, honestly, Michael, we're going to have to we're going to have to go to court if you don't
prove
leave.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Well, and guess what? He did, because he was his own motherfucking attorney and he represented himself in court. And the judge was like, I think just patronized him the whole time. I was just probably in disbelief of what was in front of her.
There's just such great
video. But did they make him sign a renter's contract? Did he have a lease?
Exactly.
If he doesn't have a lease, can you evict him?
Right.
Not in California.
Yeah, right?
California.
Ask my mom.
That's my
squatter's
legal loophole.
Rights, baby. You can just walk into someone's house and be like, I live here now. And that'll work in California.
What?
But yeah, this dude
I'm
is...
sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah. No, California is very, very nice to squatters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very hard to evict people.
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to buy a house, but if I could just squat in one and own
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come on, guys.
Start off
Do
with
it.
Frogging.
Because I saw some on Zillow that are definitely being foreclosed. They need some renovations. I'm like, mm-hmm. I see. Like, you can't even see on the inside.
Yeah.
And I could just live in it.
Just live in there.
Yeah,
but, I'm sorry. You think you live? I've been living here.
Just
here
get
now.
A tetanus shot first.
But how do I legally? Come on, guys. Like, I'm so excited about this.
I don't know.
No,
I mean, look,
I don't know. I just
if we have any Google personal assistant.
If we
on
have
this.
Any licensed lawyers who specialize in squatters' rights, please contact
them. I'm
going
to give you the
how
number
I
of this
live
guy
my
I know
life?
Named Michael Rotondo.
Yeah, let's tell you all about it.
I need an attorney.
First of all, this dude, when you look at a picture of him, looks like Mandy Patinkin.
Mixed with Martin Starr.
Yeah.
It's Martin Starr playing Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah.
Which one is Mandy Patinkin?
He looks like he's lived a...
From The Princess Bride? He was also in Homeland.
Yeah.
He just looks like he's lived a hard life.
Yeah,
it's crazy when you look 30 and you look like you were like one of Rasputin's homies.
Right.
I guess when your parents have coddled you your whole life, I guess that does age you quicker? Seems weird.
Get off my back about that.
Right.
Yeah, you can only imagine if he's actually representing himself in court, like how he was trying to justify him, be like, oh, Your Honor, may I ask, isn't it the responsibility of a parent to nurture and to house and protect their children? Despite their age, does that relationship still not last?
And therefore, the foregoing,
such as,
such as and henceforth,
I shall by here demand that I stay in my room, my honor.
Right. An actual quote from the proceedings. I don't see why they can't just, you know, wait a little bit for me to leave the house. Mr. Rotondo argued as his parents looked on, sitting with their lawyer. Again, just you have to be either an actual psychopath or just the most sheltered person in the world to represent yourself in a court of law. Like, that's just that never works out that well.
Is he having? Well, it's none of my business.
What?
Could you imagine dating this man? No.
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 None of my business.
I don't think he's leaving.
Yeah,
house.
He's not leaving. Oh, you don't think he's leaving the house at all?
I mean, he probably is. Well, he refuses to get a job.
Because there's that Queer Eye episode with that comedian that lives in his parents' basement.
I haven't seen
or
it.
Or that house.
That's off the new Netflix Queer Eye? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know.
What was that person's story?
He just didn't move out. He's a comedian.
And just lives there.
He lives
but had a social life.
Yeah, he's a comic, I guess. I don't know, yeah. But I can't. I was like, would I go home to a parent's home? And it's like, no.
No, because I think that says something about you just personality-wise. Like, I mean, it's
but
one thing.
My parents taught me not to stick up for myself or to, what is it, be able to afford my things myself.
Yeah,
what
right?
is the word I'm looking for?
Be independent?
Independent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh, that simple word,
Your Honor, my parents defanged me and actually robbed me of the abilities to be independent. Therefore, yeah. I believe it is my right to actually, they have created me.
I'm a little worried for this guy. It feels
I hope he's
like,
okay.
Some... like putting this guy out into the world on his own feels a little like putting, like my dog has a hard enough time
getting by. I like
getting
that we're comparing him to a dog.
Well, my dog is like, anytime a human or other dog approaches him, he rolls on his back and shows them his belly just
right.
to be like, hey, we're all cool
I'm
here.
Passive.
Like,
yeah.
You can literally eat my soft underside if you would like. Like, I feel like this is like just putting him out into the
you can do
into
it.
The wilderness.
Well, it's, but you know what? This is the mentality the parents had that allowed this man to live there for 30 years.
You
yeah.
know, I'm going to
no,
encourage
you're right.
Him.
I should make my dog
You should just, but
fend
get the fuck
himself.
Out, man. If you can't get a fucking job, you got no business being here. I already right. got two sons I got to raise. I don't need a third one. So
wait, you got two sons?
I do. I have
wow.
two sons and a dog.
And a dog
who's the dog not is working. The one whose food I need to soften because his teeth aren't strong enough.
Oh, wow.
See, and look.
He's also old.
And watch, and he's going to be there till he's 30, Jack, with this attitude. That you, somehow he lives forever. But they gave him $1,000 to leave. Like, they were trying to, and he was like, well, I don't have any good work experience. And then, like, there are jobs available.
Right.
Even for people with poor work history.
So, Michael.
It sounds like he was making a lot of excuses. The other thing was, like, he didn't do anything around the house either.
That's the one thing is that
you
got to
do something, bro.
That was brought Michael. Into the courtroom. They were like, he never helped with any of the chores.
Yeah.
How do you live in a place and just not contribute anything at all?
Because you are a leech. You're
wow.
a parasite.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I stopped working in politics and trying to switch back and getting into comedy, I moved back home and there's no fucking way I could just be like, Mom!
Yeah.
Like, food! Because she would shame me. And she's good at that. As you've seen on my Twitter, my mom's a savage. You know, she wasn't standing for that shit.
Yeah. Maybe that is just all parenting is like
shaming?
Instilling enough shame in your kids
yeah.
so that
just
they
on
just
some level. Just yeah. a healthy about healthy
right.
amount.
Healthy amount of shame.
Yeah.
Not overdoing it, but
yeah.
just so that
don't crush me, yeah. but you know, let me feel the heat still.
And this brings up a study that you were pointing out today, Miles, about 80s babies. You and
yeah.
I are 80s babies.
Yes, we are.
And we are apparently the most economically screwed.
Fucked, I think is
fucked,
the technical
guess.
Term.
Yeah.
The brokest generation of them all. So this study was done by like the Fed in, I forget which Federal Reserve Bank, the local ones.
I don't
anyway.
Trust the banks anyway, so
well,
I don't trust this study.
Okay, well, check this out.
No.
They were saying that the median net worth of those born around in the Reagan years was around 34% lower than what past trends would predict for their age group versus like Gen Xers were just 18% behind. So like, we're just disproportionately underperforming in terms of, like, our finances and things like that. And now what they're saying is, well, it's not what's being earned or, like, the savings habits, because apparently, contrary to popular belief, Americans born in the 80s, we actually put away more money at higher rates than boomers or Gen Xers did at this age.
Yeah.
But instead, it just boils down to houses and debt. So a lot of us 80s babies, you know, got a lot of college debt, got a lot of credit card debt.
I didn't go to college.
Yeah. Well, hey, some of us got that debt.
Well,
and,
I don't.
Well, you're lucky. You know what I mean? And now you're doing better. So you might look smarter than most of us now.
I'm just trying to feel good about that right now.
Hey, well, you're about to buy a house, so look at you. But I think, yeah.
Well, not really, but I've been looking.
Well, look, it's good.
I'm about to squat in a house.
Yeah, yeah. We're about to legally have access.
Yeah, now that I heard about squatters' rights, okay. Fuck that. Yeah, Zillow is just more of like a squatting Airbnb.
That's where I go
vibe.
To find my squats.
Next squats. Yeah, so they're saying like, yeah, we're underperforming. I think it's because of things like student debt, auto loans, credit card balances. Just don't own homes, don't really have stocks and things like that. So when asset prices go up, we just miss out on shit like that.
Yeah. And housing. I mean, people who own homes, that's like one of the key ways to add to your net worth and like sort of stabilize your net worth around something.
Yeah.
And when a lot of 80s babies were getting out of college into the workforce, the fucking financial crisis hit and nobody was building up enough money to
buy
a house.
Holy shit. I was living off credit cards by the time college ended. I had some credit cards I was using. Then I graduated in motherfucking 2007. Okay. Right. And I walked into a buzzsaw. I would work at a t-shirt shop.
You walked into a buzzsaw?
I walked into a buzzsaw. I was cut in half.
No. Right.
Yes. Thanks to thanks Scientology, they repaired me. I'm now an operating thetan. No, it was just like, it was a terrible time. I remember really being so disillusioned with like what I was going to do because everything was like, there's no money on earth anymore. And I was wandering. Then right. I found comedy. And then my mom shamed me and I got out of the house.
Can't believe you ran into a bus all day.
Yeah.
I'm just still not over that
I'm
shit.
I'm still on the bus though, man.
I'm a clumsy guy.
but I do think this is something that millennials will get through, will live through, and, you know, eventually will be more frugal and, you know, ready for whatever comes down the line.
But also, it's not our fucking fault either. So it's
right.
not like
yeah,
we have
Mom.
To be more frugal. Yeah, exactly. Come
Michael's
on, fucking baby boomers.
I think once the baby boomers are all retired or died off, it's going to be good for the country in terms of financial responsibility because you're going to have a
or
generation
like fiscal
that,
laws, yeah.
right, that actually is worried and, you know, knows what it means, knows the value of a dollar.
Yeah. And I'll be telling people, you know, I graduated in 2007 and walked into a buzzsaw.
How do you walk into a buzzsaw, dude?
It's, look, I was working,
I know, it's not
I was
like
moonlighting
he's
at Home
ran
Depot.
Into it
what
and couldn't
were
stop
you doing?
Himself. Just slowly.
Just very slowly. I don't know. Yeah. It's a phrase.
Oh, is it really a phrase?
Yes.
Oh.
I thought you were doing a bit.
No, I thought you really, I've never heard that phrase in my life.
Yeah.
Also, my dad's a carpenter, so I really thought you were.
Amazing.
So
you're
I was like
God damn.
You're really worried
you
about
you
an
are
idiot.
So light yeah. about like, this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked into a bus saw, folks.
Yeah, don't wow. take his hat off. Don't take your hat off. It's really
I look
gruesome.
Like Chris Gatling.
I'm going to have to look up that phrase. we didn't ever talk about microblading.
Well, that's another show. I love that you were like, damn, the whole time you thought I literally
like,
had walked into a bus saw.
Walk into a
yeah,
bus
I'm clumsy,
saw.
And, you know, I didn't get OSHA training.
I was like, where are you cut?
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I wear hoodies and pants all the time.
Right. Ever.
Yep.
It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on the internet. EverMainard. Twitter and Instagram. Nobody really uses Facebook anymore. Okay, except for my mom. What's up? .com too. I got a .coms. Yeah, you can find me around. I do a lot of shows, so I always post them on there. Twitter and Instagram, not so much.
Okay. All right.
One of the funniest people out there.
Thank you.
Check her
out. Cheer.
Miles.
Yes. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm a big fucking slut.
Hey, I walked into a bus stop.
Miles, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me actually nursing my buzzsaw injury, so I get back to 100%. But if you're looking for me on social media, I am at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, guys, Zeitgang, listen up. Okay, so Monday is Memorial Day. It's a holiday. We're going to take the day off, but we want to leave you guys something to listen to because, you know, we want to, you know, we got to keep y'all tapped in. So what we're going to do is do a little AMA type thing. So if you have any questions for us about the show, about us personally, whatever, super producer Nick Stump, super producer Anna Hosnier, whatever, hit us with a question on Twitter with the hashtag AskDZ. And yo, we will try and answer those questions for you for Monday's show. But please get those questions in by Friday, 8 a.m. Pacific time. That way we have them, we can record it, and, you know, y'all can have some answers.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Hello.
We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles. Yeah. What's that going
to
be?
You know, I've just been listening to all kinds, a lot of Dilla again. Sorry, guys. I love him.
Don't apologize.
No, I can't. I cannot. But I was thinking about a J. Dilla song. I was like, no, let's do a sort of a flip. So this is a Flying Lotus sort of flip of Slum Village's Fall in Love. Now, Slum Village is the J. Dilla crew of the group, and he produced the song Fall in Love, but this is the Fly Low flip, so it's a little more vibey, a little more mellow, you know, because I'm a paper chaser. So just check out Flying Lotus Fall in Love, his little G mix, his remix, his flip.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.